You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, shining, sharpshooting Sherlocks. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 215. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your masters of mascots marinating in miscellaneous mental material.
Woo! I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
It's a new season, guys.
Woo! Yay! We made it.
So welcome back, everybody. Here we are, season 3. And I've got two big pieces of news. News number one, I've finally graduated from college.
Yay!
I'm officially the proud class of 2021. So, context, turns out I've never actually officially graduated as I thought 17 years ago this entire time, due to paperwork and communication errors, not because I did anything bad.
That's great.
It's never too late, folks. Too late to go back and get that degree.
A lot of people have told me that this is like their nightmare.
And it's true. I have had that specific, we call it a nightmare, but like that specific like recurring dream of like you're back in school and you don't know what your schedule is, you know, where your classes you're attending, that sort of thing.
Yes! Yeah.
But also the like, I'm back in school as an adult because I never graduated high school, you know, even though I thought I did, and I need to go take another class to like, right, yeah.
So I'm like Billy Madison. All right, and news number two, we, Good Job Brain, are in a podcast network. We have joined the Airwave Media podcast family, and in this family, we will be playing the role of the weird, funny uncle who likes puns and beavers. So essentially, Uncle Joey in Full House.
We are not cool enough to be Uncle Jesse. That is a different podcast.
The shows in Airwaves Network celebrate the pursuit of learning, and I guess in a way, we are educational as well. Mm-hmm. So happy to be included. Some things that are going to change is we're bringing back ads.
Ads are back, everybody.
So instead of costing us money to make every episode so far, some ad revenue will alleviate our spend.
And it's a return. We used to do ads. We took a break. It's kind of nice to flex that muscle again, you know?
So with those two big news out of the way, let's get back to business. Without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hot Shot. So here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card, and you guys have your barnyard buzzers. And let's answer some questions. Here we go. Blue Wedge for geography. In which U.S. state would you find the weather condition called VOG? V-O-G.
VOG.
Chris.
Just smacked myself in the headphones. With my you mother. Did. So excited. I'm all right. Thankfully, the headphones cushioned the blow. Hawaii.
Hawaii is correct.
Yes. Oh.
Volcano fog.
Volcano smog. Ah. Yes. Pink Wedge for pop culture. If you are a Belieber, you belong to which pop artist's loyal fan following?
Dana, please.
Justin Bieber.
Correct. It Biebs. Is the Biebs. All right. Yellow Wedge. On May 6th, 1945, the day after the order ceased combat, a Nazi U-boat was sunk off the coast of which U.S. state?
Oh, man.
USA. Okay. In honor of our own Chris Kohler, I will say Connecticut. I feel like somewhere on the East Coast, maybe. I'll say Connecticut. I don't know.
No, it is
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Home of the coffee milk. Yes, Rhode Island. Wow. So the crew did not receive word that the war was over because they're in a submarine and they're underwater.
Right, right.
All
right,
next question. Purple Wedge. Leo Tolstoy wrote which masterpiece of Russian literature that was more than 550,000 words in length?
War and Peace.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
famously known for its
for length. Being super long.
I feel like that's one where, like, if you read it on the Kindle, you're kind of like cheating yourself out of being able to boast about it. You know what I mean? Like, part of the fun is carrying around this dictionary size book, mm-hmm. right?
I knew somebody who used to tear big books in half and take them around with them.
I mean,
it made me lightheaded when I saw it. I was like, what did you do? Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. Now, what did they do? They only read the top of the pages?
Yeah. They're like, you get this, you get the point that way.
All right. Green Wedge for Science and Nature. Tang. The orange drink, Tang,
yes.
Was invented as a beverage for astronauts. True or false?
Oh,
interesting.
I believe that this one is true. I don't think this is a tricky history, right?
I think I think you're right. I think that it actually was, in fact, invented to give astronauts an orange juice-like, you know, substance. That they could. Yeah.
Dana, what do you think?
That's interesting. It's funny to be like, hey, astronauts, do you want some Kool-Aid in space? Like, do you want like this really aggressively orange flavored drink?
Yeah.
But it is aggressively orange.
I mean, but if astronaut ice cream is real, then maybe they're like, hey, we should make you some whimsical food because you get really bored in space. So we're going to make you a bunch of treats. Is that what's happening?
The answer is false.
No.
Tang,
just marketed as
Tang already existed pre astronauts going to space. So Tang was already in stores before John Glenn orbited the Earth.
Did they really take it to space?
I don't know. Let's check. Or is that a story?
I was going to say, if anything, it was not in space because you don't want like powders and stuff floating around up there. But like that,
oh,
it was.
That's true.
I thought the answer was it was developed for space, but they realized it wouldn't be practical, so they just marketed it that way.
Oh,
but
okay.
How tricky.
Well, we were all wrong.
Actually, freeze-dried ice cream. So freeze-dried ice cream, we always associate with astronauts.
Yeah.
There no records exist of freeze-dried ice cream making it on board because you're right, it's crumbly.
This makes more sense to me, actually. Like, why would they feed the astronauts just like a bunch of sugar and garbage? Like, they need to be on the peak performance.
That, to be fair, in like the 60s, sugar was considered like the essential energy food.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, right.
Yep.
So Seattle Times does say, yes, the early astronauts did drink Tang, including on the Apollo 11 mission 50 years ago. Hmm. So Tang was there. However, people didn't like it. Buzz Aldrin famously said that it sucks.
Oh, that backfired on Tang.
And it's not clear whether if it's a little bit premixed, like it's in a tube, like already kind of in a drink. But astronaut ice cream never made
that
it to
one.
Space.
They totally got
Man.
Me. Man,
they sell it at the space center.
They said yes at the museums. They would sell it and be like,
"It's got a picture of the astronaut right on the label."
God, what such lies. Oh, my God. All right. Well, back to Trivia Pursuit Card. Last question, Orange Wedge. The massively popular video game World of Tanks was invented in which country? Wow, what a current card.
So I think I'm pretty sure it's Russia, but I might be mixing up my Eastern European countries here.
It is Belarus.
It's Belarus.
Minsk. Yeah. All right. Good job, brains. So today is episode number 215. And every fifth episode here at Good Job Brain, we actually don't have a theme or a topic. We all made our own quizzes to stump each other and stump you guys, listeners. So this week, it's all quiz number 43. So one of the main criticisms, or I guess constructive feedback that we got about last season was that people wanted the return of some of our classic segments. So today, your wish is our command. Today's All Quiz Bonanza features some Good Job Brain staples, classics. So let's kick it off. Dana, you're going first.
So when you told me that today's show was going to be classic segments, I thought about it for a while. I'd just done a Belgium or No Belgium. And I was like, oh yeah, Lifetime Movie or Not is another one that I really enjoyed doing. To recap, I love the titles of Lifetime movies. I think, and they kind of come in two flavors. Like they're either amazing puns, or they're like super detailed explanations of the whole like weird plot. And that's the title of the movie. So like, and sometimes it's like a swirl of both, and those are amazing. So in the past, when I made these quizzes, I kind of focused on the punny names, and I would give you the lifetime pun name, and I would also make up pun names, and you had to tell me if it was real or fake. Mm-hmm. And like, I think the best ones I came up with, Ghosted by a Ghost.
Very good.
I was very proud of that one.
Yes.
I think that should be a movie. And One Dave at a Time, which is about a woman dating multiple Daves. Yes. I was like...
It's so plausible.
Yeah.
One Dave at a Time.
Yeah. This time, instead of focusing on puns, I decided to pit actual Lifetime movie names against AI designed to create Lifetime movie names. There's a bunch of generators.
Oh,
because
no.
These names are so good.
Right.
They're so inspiring. This quiz is, can you tell which ones are real and which ones were cobbled together by AI? And I like sat there a long time pushing the generate new title button
yep.
to like get good ones. And then I checked to make sure it was like actually not a movie.
Fantastic.
Here we go. Number one. An Accidental Christmas Wedding. Real or fake?
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say fake, but,
but it's such good SEO. Yeah. It's such good
I think that's what this generator is doing, though. It's like what
Christmas
what words pop up the most, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll say fake.
Fake.
It's fake.
Okay.
But I had to Google it. I was like, am I sure this is fake? How about How I Married My High School Crush?
I'll say true.
But this doesn't seem like a interesting mm-hmm. movie premise, mm-hmm. though. I'll say fake.
Yeah, it's okay. Real. 2007, starring Katie Sackhoff.
Oh, Starbuck.
Oh.
Yeah.
From Battlestar Galactica.
How I Married My High School Crush. Okay, how about Psycho Party Planner?
Oh, man.
There's a lot of movies about planners and consultants on Lifetime.
Yeah. I'll say AI fake. Psycho Party Planner.
I'll say true.
There's Bridezillas, but it's rarely the planner that is crazy. Mm. So I say it's bought, fake.
It is real. It is real. Oh. This is a real movie you can watch about a psycho party planner. Anyway, how about a High School Hidden Baby?
fake.
This is like that one show where it's like I didn't know I was pregnant.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I'll say fake, but man, just by a hair.
It's fake.
Okay.
That one made me laugh for so long. It's really good.
I feel like even Lifetime would treat a subject like, you know, a hidden high school pregnancy with slightly more gravitas than High School Hidden Baby. You know what I mean?
They don't, though, Chris.
They don't.
Okay. How about this one? Psycho yoga instructor.
Wow.
Okay. Well,
from the people who brought you.
Yeah.
The criterion.
Yeah. Is this bot just now that was fed Psycho Party Planner and is spitting this back out? Or is this, in fact, taking place in the, you know.
The psycho universe.
I think it's fake. I think you're right. I think the bot took in Psycho Party Planner, which is real, and they're like, okay, psycho occupation is now a...
All right. I'll go with you, Karen. I'll go with you. I'll say fake.
And I'll say real. I'm gonna zig while you zag.
It's real.
It is the sequel to Psycho Party
Planner.
They
have a whole line.
Who thought it?
What are some of the other ones?
Oh, man. Let me see if I have it on my list. I can't do all of them because you'll catch the pattern. Okay, so it looks like they also have Psycho Nurse and Psycho Storm Chaser.
Oh.
Psycho Storm Chaser.
All right, how about this one? Her Secret Family Killer.
It's got the her in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her Secret Family Killer.
Now, so does that mean she has a secret family or...
Is this, she has, someone is trying to kill her secret family, or within her secret family there is a killer?
I mean,
who knows?
I know the answer, but
there's a colon you're missing. Her secret colon family killer.
Family killer.
Right.
There's no colon.
Real.
Bot. Fake.
I'll say real.
It is real. And it's about genetic testing. It is about a secret family killer. How about this one? Sexting in the dark.
I'll say real.
Yeah, why in the dark?
Real. It should be real. If
real.
It's not, it's so real.
Oh.
All right, last one. Her deadly sugar daddy.
Real. Man, this is like...
I'll say real. I'll say real.
I want it to be real.
It's real. Yeah. Okay. It's from 2020. I think, you know, honestly, the people who make these movies, like, get the joke. Like, they know the spirit of the thing that they're trying to create. So,
yeah.
Anyway, good job,
y'all. I honestly would not be surprised if they do not create lists of titles and, like, focus group them and say, check off the boxes of the ones that you would be most likely to watch.
Yeah.
Because they're so high concept that it's just like, you look at it and you're like, oh, I know what this movie's going to be about. And that's what you want. Like,
yeah.
Because the titles are so straightforward that they're like, oh, okay, people really are into sex.
You know what people like.
They're not like sending them complete, you know, they're not like receiving completed scripts from like script writers that are just
exactly.
I've got one for you. You know, and somebody is just there like, this is written a psycho construction worker, psycho attorney. And then they finally get down to the bottom and they're just like, you know, psycho IP lawyer, incredible.
Yeah.
Colin, you got our next segment, please.
All right. I had a lot of fun putting this one together. I hope you guys like it. I hope it goes well. So I have a quiz that combines food with a little bit of foreign language, a little bit of country trivia. This quiz is called the Country Namesake Food Quiz. And I'll give you an example here. So we have a lot of foods and dishes that we eat here in America and also the English-speaking world generally, but I'm talking about just in America, where a country name is part of the food. Now, don't start naming them because you might name something on the quiz, but you can certainly think to yourself if you like. So I'm going to give you an example here. The way I'm going to structure this quiz is I will describe to you the best I can this food, and you will give me the name of this food. In the name of the food will be a country name or a nationality.
Okay.
Let me give you a funny example here. Like in the course of doing this quiz, I was looking up like Russian dressing. All right. Now, you may or may not be surprised. Russian dressing, it's not really Russian. It's not really a Russian thing. Most sources seem to indicate that it's called Russian dressing because early iterations of it tended to have caviar in it. So it was sort of an allusion.
Okay.
Russian style. Yeah. In fact, I learned that what we call Russian dressing, apparently in Germany, you can get this. It's called American dressing. I will be using some foreign phrases, some foreign terms in these questions. I'm going to give you, in fact, what these dishes are called in these namesake countries, whether or not they come from there. They might exist there. I'm going to do my best on these languages. I am going to do my best on pronunciation. Please bear with me if one of these languages is your home language. I'm doing my best. All right. So with all of that out of the way, let me give you this hopefully simple example. In its namesake country, if you wanted this salty, starchy treat, you would ask for pommes frites.
Oh.
And the answer would be, I think you all know,
French fries.
Yeah. Belgium, of course, as Dana, I'm sure, knows, lays claim to being the home of French fries, despite the fact that we call them French fries. So get your barnyard buzzers ready. And here we go into the quiz. In its namesake country, this bread is known as tiger brood, which means tiger bread. What food is this? Karen, quickly.
Sorry, I buzzed way too early. This is one of my favorite foods of all time. I would even say it's part of my if I had a last meal. I think we talked about this last season. It is Dutch crunch bread.
And I want you to know, Karen, that actually it was you talking about this in that segment that inspired me to put this quiz together. Ooh. We call it Dutch crunch and they call it tiger bread. It's moving right along. In its namesake country, this popular breakfast dish is typically called pain perdu, which translates to lost bread. I think you all buzzed, but Chris might have been first there. Chris, what do we got?
It's French toast.
Indeed French toast. French toast. In its namesake country, this simple confection is known as lokum. It derives from the Arabic al-lukum, which ultimately means throat comfort. Karen, I believe, was first there.
Sorry, it's funny. Turkish delight.
That's right. I am indeed looking for Turkish delight, basically a gel of starch, sugar, often with some fruit. The origin of this is not exactly known. And there are, you know, I want to say several countries and regions that will lay claim to being the home of it all over many regions. But Turkish Delight, what we call it here, yes. In its namesake country, these savory items are known as çotbular, which literally means meat buns. And you'll often see them served with a creamy gravy and lingonberry jam.
Oh, Swedish meatballs.
Swedish meatballs. Yes, I'm looking for Swedish meatballs, what we call them. Yeah, we have a pretty, I think I would say a pretty authentic representation of Swedish meatballs in the U.S. It maybe is a little homogenized, but yeah, they tend to be a little bit on the smaller side.
Small, yeah.
A kind of a cream based gravy. It's a little hard to find lingonberry jam, I think, maybe in some parts
IKEA.
Exactly what I was going to say. One place reliably has them, which is your neighborhood IKEA. In its namesake country, this dairy product is known as Strangisto Yaorti, and it's been a staple item for generations, but has exploded in popularity in the U.S. in the last 15 years. What are we looking for? Chris and Karen together. I'll give it to Chris. Why not?
Greek yogurt.
Greek yogurt, yes, that's right. Strained yogurt is really the category.
Oh, so strained.
Yeah, really, just in the last 15 years here in the U.S., in no small part to the Chobani company, also the Faye company, really just very successfully marketing this product to Americans. Moving right along. In its namesake country, if you wanted a side order of this meat, you'd ask for back bacon.
Oh,
Chris.
Canadian bacon.
Yes, Canadian bacon.
Yeah.
In its namesake country, this smoky meat treat is called kielbasa. Dana, what do you got for us, Dana?
Polish sausage?
That is correct. Yeah, Polish sausage. Okay. That's right. Okay, last one. In its namesake country, if you asked for some Emmentaler on your sandwich, what would you be getting? Karen, I believe, decisively.
One of my favorite ingredients in a sandwich, it is Swiss cheese.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Broadly, one of a type of Swiss cheese, but no doubt the Emmentaler is the prototypical Swiss cheese. Yeah. And that is, again, one of those sort of internationally trade protected terms. Like if you're buying what advertises itself as Emmentaler, it better be Swiss actual origin cheese. Yeah.
So anybody can use the term Swiss cheese.
That's right.
They can't call it Emmental.
My understanding is that's generally correct, right? You know, most places will say Swiss style or Swiss type, okay. You know, or Alpine cheese. I've also seen
some. Oh, I've seen Alpine.
God, that's such a good cheater way to do it.
I learned that originally, even though the holes are, you know, it's a natural, it's a byproduct of a natural process in the cheese making. Originally, the cheesemakers would try to avoid the big holes. It was something that you would kind of try and downplay and avoid, you know, whereas these days, like that's what makes it the Swiss cheese, right? Yeah. You get Swiss cheese without the holes, you feel kind of cheated.
And have you ever
bit.
Gotten the slice and the hole is like, you know, more than a quarter of the slice is a hole?
Yeah. I know what you mean. So, buy it by weight, not by slice. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey yo, you're listening to Good Job Brain, and this week it's our all quiz bonanza number 43. So who's up next?
We were talking about bringing back some of our classic segments and things like that for this the season premiere. I've never done any classic segments. I've never done anything that's actually become popular. But I decided to. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure I haven't. Prezi Dogs was not. I don't know if that was popular. Certainly, others here have done things that have become extremely popular, and I wanted to just go ahead and just steal one of those. And Karen was nice enough to let me take over a very popular segment. Everybody loves it. Took us a while to come up with a name for this. Originally, Karen wanted to call it William Shakespeare Goes to a House Party.
Yay!
Then swapped that out for William Shakes His Rear. then the even less catchy Who Wants to Barty? And then finally, I think by the end of the first segment, we had all settled on William Fakespeare.
Which really was staring us in the face the whole time.
Yeah. Whole entire time. And the idea behind this being the bard of Stratford-upon-Avon himself, William Shakespeare, is reincarnated in the contemporary era as a DJ, taking a popular dance music and rewriting it in ersatz Elizabethan English, as you would hear in a Shakespeare play, and then trying to figure out what the original song was. Well, actually, I did a couple of things a little bit differently that now that I'm doing this. One, I went a little bit outside of strictly dance music and party music. There's definitely some party music in there, and then there's some that are not. And then two, I decided to try to actually write all of this in iambic pentameter. Because I was really trying to match the poetic meter, they ended up a lot more serious. Sometimes to the point of being even depressing. Karen's were very funny and wacky sometimes.
It's just like Shakespeare, comedy and tragedy.
Exactly.
Can go both ways.
So this is tragedy. So you guys can all kind of just work together, try to figure it out from the phrases, work it back to the originals. These are all very popular songs. Very popular songs. You've heard all of them. Okay, here we go. Okay. All right, here we go. And I will be playing the part of William Fakespeare, trained actor. We parted with mere phrases on the tongue, whilst I did perish 90 times and 10. Thine heart anon lies with another wench, whilst I return to darkness once again. We parted with mere phrases on the tongue, whilst I did perish 90 times and 10. Thine heart anon lies with another wench, whilst I return to darkness once again.
Okay.
Let me say goodbye. I died 100 times. 90
yeah.
plus 10.
Yeah, 90 plus 10, 100. We left something like we left with no words to say.
We left that a word. I died 100 times.
Somebody at home got it already. I know it. I know it. Yeah. I will read it again as you're all thinking. We parted with mere phrases on the tongue, whilst I did perish 90 times and 10. Thine heart anon lies with another wench, whilst I return to darkness once again.
Oh, you made it rhyme.
Is this a Fleetwood Mac song?
It is not a Fleetwood Mac song. Colin, you got the line, the second line being, I died 100 times.
I died 100 times. It's itching somewhere in my brain.
Oh, I know.
Oh, you got it?
It is Amy Winehouse.
Jack Black.
Yes. Yeah. We only said goodbye with words. I died 100 times. You go back to her. And I go back to black.
That's
right. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. You got it. That's good, right. good. All right. Okay. Number two. This is a more recent song. I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint. This is more recent. This is within the last couple of years. Okay. Rare for me. Rare for a music round by me. But yes, here we go. Oh, these brilliant lamps obscure mine sight. Whilst we are parted, sleep shall ne'er o'ertake me. Oh, the night envelops me, I drown. Whilst I am in this state, do not forsake me. Oh, these brilliant lamps obscure mine sight. Whilst we are parted, sleep shall ne'er o'ertake me. Oh, the night envelops me, I drown. Whilst I am in this state, do not forsake me.
Oh, I thought I knew.
Oh, these brilliant lamps obscure my... I'm blinded by the light.
And long to feel your touch. But uh-huh. It's not in this phrase.
But is it a different... Yeah, is it a different verse, maybe?
All right, so Karen, you're correct. Oh. This is blinding, this is Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. Okay. The original lyrics being... I said, ooh, I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep until I feel your touch. I said, ooh, I'm drowning in the night. Oh, when I'm like this, you're the one I trust.
Oh, good job.
All right. Well, good. You got, okay, 2 for 2, everybody. Yeah. Doing great. Doing great. Good. Okay, here we go. Number 3 of 5. Here it is. Of late, a flame doth kindle in mine breast. Its burning shows me pathways once concealed. At last I can perceive thee with mine eyes. Cross me, and I shall all thine tricks reveal. Of late a flame doth kindle in mine breast. Its burning shows me pathways once concealed. At last I can perceive thee with mine eyes. Cross me, and I shall all thine tricks reveal.
The rhyming is such a good touch.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Of late, a flame doth kindle in my heart's on fire. My heart
eternal
is burning.
Flame.
It's not eternal flame. I'll cut off that right now.
Late a flame doth kindle.
Is it
in
Adele?
My
is it set fire to the rain? No. Adele something?
We know it's Adele.
Rolling in the deep. All right, there's a fire burning in my heart.
Oh, yes!
Reaching a fever pitch. Yes. Nice.
So yes, this is Adele Rolling in the Deep. Very good, Dana. Yeah, I'll read the original lyrics. There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your bare. Yes,
that's good.
All right, guys, you're doing pretty good. Let's hit number question 4 of 5. This is another song. A church nearby I entered for a spell, and on my knees a prayer did I feign. But while the priest was fond of winter's chill, I dreamt of Queen Califia's domain. A church nearby I entered for a spell, and on my knees a prayer did I feign. But while the priest was fond of winter's chill, I dreamt of Queen Califia's domain.
Oh,
okay.
California dreaming.
California.
Yep, I stopped into a church I passed along the way. Well, I got down on my knees and I pretend to pray. You know the preacher likes the cold. He knows I'm going to stay California dreaming on such a winter's day. Now, I got caught on this. I'm like, wait a minute. Did the word California exist in Shakespeare's time, 1500s? In fact, it actually did. Predate Shakespeare, the word originated as a concept of a fictional island that was written about in an old work of fiction.
Oh.
California being an island off the coast of Asia that was ruled by Queen Califia. So I'm like, okay, all right. technically counts. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's great.
So these are apparently, I think these have just been getting easier as the round has been going on. This final one, I think by the time that I am done with this, there's not going to be any question as to what this is. And that's okay. this one, I almost got to sonnet length with it. And I probably could have gone sonnet length if I really wanted to, because a sonnet is 3 stanzas of 4 lines each and then 2 lines that rhyme at the end. This is 10 lines instead of 14 lines. So I almost got all the way to sonnet length. I went a little crazy with this. Enjoy this ridiculousness, and then you can tell me at the end what song this is. As though thou meant to board a mighty ship, didst thou attend this evening's affair. A scarf of red and pink adorned thine neck, a cap positioned oddly on thine hair. With furtive glance into the looking glass, didst thou regard thine frolicking with glee, and every maiden present at that fair did dream herself as thine own bride to be. So full thou art of wretched vanity that thou believest this sonnet concerns thee.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well done. That's really good. That's great.
Oh goodness.
There's a lot of rich imagery in that one. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Anybody want to say what it is?
You're so vain. Yes.
Probably Carly Simon.
Yes. Yes, it was You're So Vain by Carly Simon. If anybody doesn't know the song, the lyrics were, you walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf, it was apricot. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself gavotte. And all the girls dreamed that they'd be your partner. They'd be your partner. You're so vain, you probably think this song is about you. It was like washing the dishes, you know, and that part like popped into my head and I'm like, oh, damn. And I like stopped washing the dishes and went and wrote it down.
I love it.
I had too much fun with this. Thank you.
The moment you described the scarf, I was like, I know what song describes this scarf. Like,
nice. Oh, that's, yes. Yep. I had only heard of one ever song that said anything about anybody wearing no scarf. Yeah.
Thank you, William Fakespeare, for gracing us with your presence once again. So, I love making games that we can play on air. And though this isn't a classic Karen signature quiz segment, I think it does reek of me and my trivia style.
Reeking of Karen.
Smells like Karen spirit.
So I'm calling this segment Drop a Deuce.
Ew.
Oh my.
Drop a Deuce is a modified version of Scattergories. And I will ask a trivia question where there will be many, many possible answers. Yeah.
Did you say Scattergory? It sounded like you said Scattergories.
Scattergories.
So it sounded like you said Scattergories, yeah, which would be like
another poop joke.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
A poop joke on a poop joke.
Scatter. Yeah. Scattergories.
It sounded like you, yes, yeah, Scattergories.
Get the hard R in Scattergories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you said it, I was like, is it really called Scattergories? I never noticed that before.
That was not on purpose. Happy coincidence. So I will ask a trivia question where there will be multiple possible answers, and your mission is to list me just two of them. Points for unique answers. So if another person also lists out the same answers that you put down, then you and that person don't get the point for duplicate answers. So there's some strategy involved. You have to think about like what other people might write, but also stick with what you know the trivia question is. For example, so if I say, please name me two shades of the fourth color of the rainbow. The fourth color. First, you have to deduce what the fourth color of the rainbow is.
Okay, right. Okay. Green.
Which is green. And then name me two shades of green.
Like lime and olive.
Kelly. Right? Forest.
Okay.
So if anybody has duplicates of that, then they don't get the point.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Here we go. First question. As a kid, this film director attended Disneyland on the second day it opened, obviously not knowing that he would later inspire a ride there. Please name me two movies that were directed by this person. Let me read it again. Okay. As a kid, this film director attended Disneyland on the second day it opened, obviously not knowing that he would later inspire a ride attraction decades later. Please name me two movies that were directed by him.
Wow. This is hard.
Well, I mean, if I even have the right director.
I don't even know the right director. Exactly.
This is starting out hard. We're starting out hard. Let's just go for it.
Okay.
All right. I've got two guesses.
Okay.
So answers up. Colin, what'd you put?
I wrote down Batman and Nightmare Before Christmas.
I think it's Tim Burton.
That's who I thought it was. That's my guess. Yeah.
I guess I couldn't really get my brain out of like Star Wars mode, so I wrote down Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back. Now, I don't know if Empire Strikes Back was directed by George Lucas. I think Star Wars was. I'm just sort of blanking on who else it could be.
Dana? I put down E.T. and Jurassic Park. I think that's Steven Spielberg. Ooh. And I was like, he did Indiana Jones, which is at Disneyland.
All of the director guesses are very good. You have Burton, you have Lucas, you have Spielberg. All of them actually did have some sort of attraction of their of their work made. And the answer is George Lucas. George Lucas. He loves Disneyland, went to Disneyland the second day it opened as a kid. And Chris, he did not direct Empire Strikes Back. So you get 1 point.
Okay.
All right. As you might know, there are 50 states in these United States. Some of them are designated as commonwealths.
Oh, geez.
Please drop a deuce and name me two of these states that have commonwealth in their full official state names.
That's a good one. Okay. Yeah. Gotta think. Yeah. What are the other people going to put? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, out of the 50 states, some of them are designated as commonwealths. So please name me two of these states that have commonwealth in their full official state names.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Dana's writing. I'm just going to list all of them and cross them out one by one. Okay, got it.
Colin, you put?
We got Virginia and Pennsylvania.
Dana?
Virginia and Oregon.
Chris?
I put Massachusetts and Pennsylvania.
So
I knew Chris was
going to
put Massachusetts.
The four states, commonwealths, are Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Massachusetts. Okay. So that means Chris gets the point.
I get the point. Yep.
Wait,
good
what?
Job.
But both of yours got named by somebody else.
Oh, I see. I see. Because there was two Pennsylvanias, two Virginias, and you said Oregon for the. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I was like, wait, that doesn't add up. Okay, gotcha.
Next question, veering into what we used to do, or what we still do, which is video games. This best-selling novelist was the part owner of the Baltimore Orioles. Fun fact. His work has inspired several video game franchises. Please drop a deuce and name two of these video game franchises. Once again, this best-selling novelist was the part owner of the Baltimore Orioles. His work has inspired several video game franchises. Please name me two of them. First, you got to figure out who
these are hard.
Best-selling novelist is. Then you have to name.
So you said he, so it's not Danielle Steele.
Okay. No, but maybe she did.
She might have.
As a hint.
I have a guess, but this is a good one.
There are seven to choose from. Mm-hmm. Seven franchises to choose two from.
Huh, okay.
And they all have this guy's name.
I'm second guessing myself more on the names of the franchises now than whether the person.
I think now we all probably know who this novelist is. Ready? Answers up. Colin.
All right. I'm guessing Tom Clancy.
Yeah.
You put Rainbow Six and Ghost Recon. Yes. Dana?
I knew it was Tom Clancy, but I was like, I don't put any points into knowing anything about Tom Clancy. Jason Bourne, Supremacy, Jason Bourne, Legacy.
I know it's Tom Clancy, but I wanted to avoid the common ones, so I put End War and X Defiant, which is the new one.
Oh, that wasn't on my list. Let me double check.
Double check.
Chris knows too much knowledge. That was
right.
Good. Chris, you and I just did a little Prisoner's Dilemma there.
That's it.
Chris, good job. That was released, or the news of that was released only a month ago. That was not on my list.
I was
correct.
Just talking about it with somebody the other day. So I was like, oh, I'm going to put that because there's no way anybody's going to put that.
No,
and then I put, and then End War. So Colin gets two also. Mm-hmm.
Yep, Chris gets two. Yep. So just in case you're wondering, Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon, Splinter Cell, Hawks, End War, The Division, and then, of course, now X Defiant. All right. These are hard. Next one. This, we've gotten this at Pub Trivia before. Based on the work of French chef Auguste Escoffier, most of French cuisine is defined by the uses of the base sauces.
Oh, yeah.
Commonly known as the mother sauces. Please drop a deuce and name me two of these mother sauces.
Okay.
A little bit of addendum. So Auguste Escoffier, in his book about French cookery, he actually lists five, but these days there are six. So any two of these six are acceptable.
Okay.
Huh, man. Sauces.
Sauces. sauces names.
Sauces.
Helps if you think about colors, the different colors of sauces, if you want. You know,
okay.
How come there are six? Maybe there's like a red one and a brown one and a white one and a yellow one.
Okay.
All right.
Answers up. Colin?
I hope I'm even in the right family here. I put Béarnaise and Hollandaise.
Dana?
I put Roux and Béarnaise.
And I put Béchamel and Hollandaise.
The six sauces are Béchamel, Espagnol, which is a brown sauce, Velouté, Hollandaise, sauce tomate or tomato sauce, and mayonnaise.
I didn't put mayonnaise because like that's gonna be the common maybe.
Right. Yeah, like you know, like what is Dijonnaise, sour, jalapeno ranch, honey barbecue.
Next question. In 2018, a sequel to a popular movie franchise was released featuring an all-female ensemble cast. Drop a deuce and name two of these actresses from the ensemble cast. In 2018, a sequel to a popular movie franchise was released featuring an all-female ensemble cast. Please name two of these actresses.
I may actually have a chance to get a point here.
All right, Chris, ready? Everybody's ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right, answers up. Colin has put down Awkwafina and Helena Bonham Carter. What movie do you think this was?
I think we're looking for Ocean's 8.
Okay, Dana, what'd you put?
Rihanna and Sandra Bullock.
Okay, also Ocean's 8, it sounds like.
Oh, you know, I forgot about Ocean's 8, and I thought maybe you were talking about the Ghostbusters reboot, and I put Kristen Wiig and Kate McKinnon.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is, yes.
It is Ocean's 8!
Oh, okay. All
Ghostbusters right. came before both Colin, Dana, you guys got it right. No repeats.
Sandra Bullock is in it?
Yeah, Sandra Bullock is in it. She is Debbie Ocean. She is the ocean.
It's like it was somebody.
Yeah. another fun fact, I just realized I saw that movie. But it's pretty good. I just totally forgot it. You know,
I have not seen it.
So we got Kate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, right? Who else am I missing in there?
Mindy Kaling.
Oh. Okay, that's right. Mindy Kaling.
Sarah Paulson.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Good movie.
We got two more questions. Here we go. Based on WWF, the World Wildlife Fund, not the World Wrestling Federation, please name me two animals that are currently on the critically endangered list. So the conservation status is, quote, critically endangered. So that is the name of the status. I don't need species names. I just need regular animal names.
Okay.
I'm not looking for the South American red-tailed lizard. You can just say lizard. Mm-hmm. That is an animal I made up.
That's cool. You make up animals a lot?
I do. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
Probably, there's probably something very, very obvious.
Just go with your gut.
All right. I'm trusting you, Karen.
All right. Answers up. Colin, you put rhino.
Rhino and gray wolf.
All right. Dana?
Put rhino and panda.
Okay, Chris.
I put whale and bird.
That was really smart. That was good.
Because you said all you need is a generic animal name, so I said bird.
Out of all of these, I think the ones that you guys hit on is rhino, but you guys canceled out each other. Mm-hmm. So 0 points for everybody.
Okay.
Nice.
There is no bird that is currently critically endangered. Just really quickly, elephant, orangutan, rhino, leopard, gorilla, turtle, tiger. There's other ones like Sayola and vaquita. And most interestingly, the Yangtze finless porpoise.
Oh.
To me, the name indicates that this porpoise dolphin-like creature has no fins. That is not true. It just doesn't have the top dorsal fin. It has the two swimmer fins. So I was imagining when I read this, I was like, tube. Is this just a blob with a
it's
tail?
A tube. It's just a tube.
Yeah. No wonder he's critically endangered. They can't swim.
Swim faster, little tubies.
All right, last question. Speaking of WWF, the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, formerly WWF.
Nice.
Based on the website Celebrity Net Worth, please drop a deuce and name me two of the 10 current or former wrestlers who have the highest net worth. So name me basically two of the 10 richest wrestlers. So a little bit of explanation. We are including endorsements, movie deals, movie income, etc. If they have ventured out into doing other things. These are people who have actually worked as a wrestler in the ring.
So some strategy, I will pick the most obvious possible because I only know three wrestlers.
Exactly.
Now, my strategy is I'm trying to stop other people from getting points.
But it makes you not get points, too.
My weakness is I don't go very deep past the top tier. I put Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair.
Okay. I almost put Hulk Hogan. It turns out maybe I know four. No, I only know three. That's one of the three.
What is your deuce?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, John Cena.
Yep. Okay. So I did put Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And I also, I really went back and forth here, but I landed on Dave Bautista.
Oh, good one.
Because he is in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. And he's about to be in Dune.
I was thinking.
And you get a lot of money from that. More so than wrestling. Yeah.
Dave Bautista, not on the list.
Not on the list.
Not on the list.
I feel like they should go back and check, but
this is, as of today, top 50.
Who's on the list?
Number one. No surprise, Vince McMahon.
Oh, see, I was going to put, because he's been in the ring for sure.
Sure.
And another person I was going to guess was Triple H because he is an executive at WWE.
Yes,
now.
He's number four. So seems like business people are up on top. So just really quickly, let me just do top five. Vince McMahon, number two is The Rock. Number three is Stephanie McMahon.
I was thinking that, Yep.
She's a corporate executive and has been a wrestler before. And then number four, Triple H, also works for WWE. Number five is John Cena.
Dang.
Okay, so after that's a very dramatic round. And after that, we have tied Colin and Chris. Congratulations. Yep. You guys are our master deuce droppers.
Yes. Thank you. Well, Karen, I think we all would like to thank you for this, for putting on this game of categories. We all really enjoyed it.
It just reeks of Karen.
Yes. The rich aroma.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. Three rounds of fresh trivia. Every single week, movies, music, even science and Disney, we've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages, teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles, smart trivia. Good job, brain.
All right, so yeah, I said that I didn't have any popular segments, but I was lying because we all know that I did, in fact, come up with the number one most popular segment that has ever been on any Good Job Brain. I don't have data or numbers for this. These are my feelings, and you can't argue that.
Okay.
This is the best segment ever. You all loved it. Everybody loved it, and we're finally bringing it back, and it's called Carol or Stephen. Which king is which? And so this game is all about kings, Carol King and Stephen King. I'm going to give you all the title of a creative work, and you are going to tell me if that title is the title of a song by incredibly prolific songwriter Carole King, or the title of a short story by incredibly prolific horror writer Stephen King.
Yes.
Yeah.
They both wrote a whole lot of stuff.
They did.
And so I'll tell you the title, and then you are going to write down. Everybody get out your pens and your paper, because y'all are going to write down either Stephen or Carole to decide whether I am telling you of the title of a song by Carole King, author of I Feel the Earth Move and stuff like that, and or Stephen King, author of Cujo.
I feel like they might be stumped by this quiz. You know, they're like, hey, you know, I've written so many things.
Yeah.
I went to carolking.com, and it is, I think it's carolking.com, but I went to Carole King's official website, and wow, she wrote a lot of songs. They're like, you have to like click on each letter to get an alphabetized by letter. And then there's like multiple pages in each letter. Which maybe it's not the best website design. Never said Carole King was good at website design.
She doesn't claim to be.
Heck of good at songwriting, though. So here we go. Carole or Stephen, right. Question one. You're writing it down.
Okay.
Question one. Suffer the little children. Suffer the little children. Is it a plaintive song about the tragic plight of little children, or is it a short story about little children suffering or making other people suffer? Write down those answers. Okay. Answers up when you got them. I got Karen says Carole, Colin says Carole, and Dana says Stephen King. Now, Dana, you don't have to write down the last name. It is implied, but I appreciate
I'm showing
the,
respect.
I love it. I love it. And in fact, Dana gets a point because it is, in fact, a story by Stephen King in which little children are like little monsters, or they've convinced their teacher that they are. And the reader is sort of left guessing whether the teacher is crazy or the kids are actually demons or
what. I thought you were going to trick us off the bat.
Yeah, you know what? I did trick you off the bat because you would have put the poison in front of you, but you would have realized that I would have put the poison in front of me. I switched them. It was one of those things. So Dana gets a big point, and we move on to question number two. The Night of the Tiger. The Night of the Tiger. Is it a allegorical song, like is it like Eye of the Tiger, like Survivor, or is it like an actual tiger literally killing people? Who knows? The Night of the Tiger. Carole or Stephen? Let's see some answers. Colin says Stephen. Karen says Stephen King. Dana says Carole King. It is in fact a story about a murderous tiger by Stephen King.
Okay.
So everybody is now tied. Good Humor Man. I guess the name of the ice cream. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, again, like, is it an ice cream man that comes and gives ice cream to all of the children, or is it an ice cream man that comes and kills all of the children? Which one is it? Carole or Stephen? Carole or Stephen? Could be either.
They're both
good. Humor Man. Colin says Carole. Karen says Carole. Dana says Carole. You are all correct.
Yay.
It is a lovely song about ice cream. Okay, here we go. Getting tougher now. Spaceship races.
That's interesting.
I'll tell you this. I don't know what it's about.
But you know what? Part of the fun of the segment is you posing what it could be about.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Sure. I don't even know how to set this one up. Everyone says Carole King. Everyone is right.
Yeah.
Everyone is right. That is actually a song by Carole King. Figured somebody would guess it was a Stephen King story about, like, I don't know, spaceship races.
A spaceship
like that.
That kills you.
Spaceship that kills you. He's had the trucks that kill you. He's had the cars that kill you. Probably the spaceship would kill you too. Yep. Yeah, why not a spaceship? Here we go. Here's another one in the snack category. Cookie jar.
Cookie jar.
Is it about a magical cookie jar at grandma's house that, you know, just is always full of delicious cookies? Right, exactly. Like, it's either always full of delicious cookies or you open it and it kills you. Maybe it's always full of delicious cookies and the cookies kill you. Everyone says Stephen. Everyone has gotten this one correct.
Yes.
It is about a cookie jar that is always full But for a very sinister reason.
Mm. Ooh.
So, yeah.
Oh.
It ends up being a portal to another another dimension where you get killed. So,
so yes. So
yes. Yes. Just not the way you thought.
So, yes. Yeah. So, yes. How about this one? Here's one for you, folks. Old Smoky Locomotion. Old Smoky Locomotion.
Oh, that's interesting.
Again. Is it like do the locomotion like a dance song? Or is it about a train that kills you? He's got, again, he's got the car that kills you. He's got the crossover SUV that kills you. Finally, we get a little bit of differentiation here. Colin and Dana both say Stephen. Karen says Carole King. It is a Carole King song. And in fact, this would help if you knew that Carole King wrote the song The Locomotion.
Oh.
Awesome. This was the follow-up song, which is a mashup of On Top of Old Smokey and The Locomotion.
I would not have guessed if I knew she did Locomotion. I'd be like, she's covered that.
Right,
she's already gone down that track, so to speak.
But, yeah. Okay. Yeah. When she was a songwriter, she wrote it for another artist also.
Little Eva, is that right?
Little Eva, that's right, that's right. And they also had a lot of song sequels back in the day. If a song was a hit, they came up with a sequel to the song. You know, let's twist again.
Let's twist again,
You're right.
Right.
Yes.
American Pie Bandcamp. your next song, Creepin' Midnight. Creepin' Midnight.
How do you spell creepin'?
I will give you this information if this will help you. CREEPIN apostrophe midnight. Creepin' midnight. Creepin' midnight. Karen says Carole. Dana says Carole. Colin says Carole. It is a Carole King song. Wow, everybody is doing pretty good.
It was too on the nose creepin', about being creepy.
Creepin' midnight.
Sure.
Yep. Okay, there's just three more here. Karen is currently ahead with 6 points. Dana and Colin each have 5. It is anybody's game of Carole or Stephen. Batman and Robin have an altercation.
That's the name of the...
Batman and Robin have an altercation.
Oh, that's interesting. Whoever it is, I want to know more about what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, much like spaceship races, it's hard to... It's hard to imagine either of them writing this. So,
you say this is the title of any work?
It's either a song or a short story.
Okay.
So it is not. I don't believe there is any.
So
novellas
it's not like a tweet.
It's not a tweet. No. It is.
You
not
know
a
what
tweet
I mean?
From either of them. It is
that's
not
the
yes.
tweet. They just tweet that only.
I could see this. This one really could be either.
Really could go either.
Yeah.
Everybody, again, you guys are rocking this because everybody guessed Stephen and everybody is correct. It is a short story titled Batman and Robin Have an Altercation by Stephen.
Sounds like fan
King.
Fiction and I
everybody
read it.
Gets a point. <Sounds good. laughs> Everybody gets a point, which is the same thing as nobody getting a point. Word processor of the gods. Word processor of the god. Don't just jump immediately to Stephen King for this one. You don't know. Maybe Carole King wrote a song about the word processor of the gods. Maybe she was running out of juice. Maybe this is from like the 90s.
It's funny because who still calls it word processor?
I feel like it's somebody the same age as those two. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yep, it's very, maybe Carole King would have said typewriter. Everybody says Stephen King. Everybody is right. I really just wanted that one in there. This is about this. Word processor of the gods is about, get this one, an aging, disaffected writer who gets tired of his family and writes them out of existence using a magical word processor.
I like to imagine like his family picking up the draft and reading it, you know.
Like, oh.
What you working on, Steve?
It's not about us, right?
Yeah.
And then finally, here we go. This is really, scratch your heads over this one. The Image Collector.
Ooh.
The Image Collector.
These all sound like good Twilight Zone episodes, too.
Don't they all just sound... Mm-hmm. I think that really gets to what's interesting about this is that divorced from all content, or all context, rather, we have these sort of either a song title or a story title sort of floating around in the ether, and you could pin them on anything, or they could be a Twilight Zone episode as well. They all sound very mysterious. Let's have some answers.
No, I was trying to be weird and break free.
Oh, no. I could totally see this being a Stephen King short story about somebody who goes around collecting photographs of people and then killing them. But it is a Carole King song. Yeah, so everybody did real good on that. Wow. Great round for everybody on this. Well, anyway, Dana and Colin both did great with 7 points. But Karen, with 8 big ones, is the winner of the second and last installment of, you know what? I'm going out on top, baby. But yes, thank you for one more round of Carole or Stephen.
Yay. Nice.
All right. It's time for our last segment here. Now, I have a listener-submitted quick quiz submitted a while ago by Carolyn Jerzowski, who works as an international school librarian. And she has worked in international Guangzhou, China, Abuja, Nigeria, Kobe, Japan, and she's currently in Hanoi. She wanted to give a quick shout-out to Christine Sue, who introduced her to the show. And Carolyn runs trivia nights for other international school teachers, which is awesome. Pretty cool. And one of her favorite Good Job Brain segments is, Colin, your classic, your signature segment, Brad Pitt or lasers?
All right.
And what I'm going to do is provide you with two completely random people or things or concepts. And all you have to do is tell me which one came first. I think by far our often most quoted shocking one, Colin, you had, was Betty White or penicillin?
Yeah.
Turns out it's Betty White.
Turns out it is, and bless her heart, she's still going as of today, recording right now. Bless her heart.
Here we go. Brad Pitt or lasers, written by Carolyn. First question: Kim Kardashian or Ms. Pac-Man?
Okay. Now, can we work these as a team, or you want individual answers?
We can work as a team.
All right. Because I feel confident Chris could give us a 80s. Year for Ms. Pac-Man.
It was 81 or 82.
Okay. And I feel pretty Pac-Man confident that Dana could give us a year for Kim Kardashian. I feel like we have the toolkit to do this.
I think she's 80. She's 80 or 81, I believe.
Yeah, I think she. Yeah, I feel like she's the oldest. I feel like she's like so.
The second oldest.
She's not the oldest.
She's the second oldest. I would have to imagine that Kim Kardashian before Ms. Pac-Man, but not by much.
Yeah.
You are correct. Okay. Kim Kardashian. Dana on the nose. 1980.
Okay, and Ms. Pac-Man.
82.
Excellent.
However, all right, there we go. Pac-Man 80. Is 80.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, you know, he had to save up and then bring the family over later. You know, it happens
from the
a
old
lot.
Country. Yeah.
Yeah, it works. Yeah.
Next question: K-pop supergroup BTS, their debut album, which is Too Cool for School, or the Game of Thrones premiere on HBO?
Okay. Importantly, in Too Cool for School, are the numerals used?
They are used.
They are used?
The number 2, cool. Okay. Number 4, school.
I think BTS debuted about 10 years ago.
I think Game of Thrones came before BTS.
Okay. Man, the irony, of course, is that Karen would know this just immediately, but she will not tell us. Yeah. I see her smirking here on our video.
I'm a baby BTS follower now. I was like, it was just Jungkook's birthday.
some clues, maybe it's helpful or not. So, you know, the oldest member of BTS has been in the news because they're approaching the South Korean mandated military service. And the age cap is 28.
I think it's Game of Thrones. I'll say Game of Thrones.
You are correct. Okay. Game of Thrones. 2011. BTS's big debut was 2013. They just celebrated their 8th year anniversary this year. Last Brad Pitt or lasers. Here we go. Which one came first? Coca-Cola or Pablo Picasso?
Oh, nice.
Well, okay. So Coca-Cola, 1880s? 1880s?
I think it's Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I think so too.
Picasso came first.
Okay.
1881 is his birthday year. Coca-Cola 1886.
Okay.
So just 5 years later.
Yep.
And you know, I mean, I feel like I know a fair amount about Picasso as well, too. But you know what threw me off with them is that I feel like, you know, and no disrespect if you were born in 1881 and you're a fan of our show, but I feel like there's a certain generation of people where you just looked older when you were a lot younger. You know what I mean? Like, you could show me a photo of Picasso.
Hard living. And,
yeah, I'd be like, he's, oh, he looks like he's 60. He's like, oh, no, he's 34 in this photo. Yeah.
All right. Good job, everybody. Thank you, Carolyn, for this awesome round of Brad Pitt or lasers. If you, dear listener, would like to submit questions to be featured on the show and get a shout out, you can now with a pledge on Patreon. We've revamped our Patreon to include that. And also for $10 a month, you can actually get a monthly pub quiz pack for you to run Good Job Brain Trivia at home with yourself, with your friends, or with your family. And also, of course, you can also pledge our classic $1 on Patreon and you'll get a Beaver Party animated GIF as a thank you. And
now, is this a GIF of a Beaver Party or is it a Beaver themed party GIF?
Like, oh, like a group of beavers.
Like, are they wearing party hats? Really, let me just come right out and say it. Are there beavers wearing party hats?
What's imagining? Yeah. What's a gathering of beavers?
Ooh.
Oh.
A cabin? A cabin of beavers?
Oh, a log jam. A log jam of beavers.
Log jam.
Oh, jam of beavers. That's great.
And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned stuff about dropping deuces, Carol and Stephen King, Lifetime movies. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on all podcast apps and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network. So visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like The Accidental Creative, I Know What Scares You, and Movie Therapy. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.